count on in life, and it's God. It is Jesus Christ. Everything else a little shaky. It just is. In God we trust, in man we bust. How many times I got to say that? We can rely on God. But let me tell you, that's the one stable thing. Because God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. God never changes. World's changing. We're changing. God never changes. Let's pray. Father, God, I'm glad we can stand on your promises. And the Bible hasn't changed. The Word of God hasn't changed. Lord, the truth has never changed. And it never will. And God, I'm thankful from Adam, Lord, to the end of the world, everything's going to be just as you said it. And God, nothing has changed. And we're so thankful for it. And God, one day you're going to take us up to be with you forever, to be in heaven where it never changes. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you've done. Bless the services and all that will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see you tonight. And as always, it's just good to be here on our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer night. And thankful for those that make it. We've had some praises. Brother John got a job. Praise the Lord. He got a good job. And we are praising the Lord for that. It's Monday through Friday, sometimes on Saturday, but no Sundays. And he'll be able to be in the services. That's what we were praying for. And so thank God for that. Brother and Miss Judy did get out of the hospital. But she forgot to turn her phone on. And her kids are panicking. They are panicking. So, Miss Lisa, after service, we got to go over there and do a well check and make sure she's okay. And I understand why they're panicking. She just got out of the hospital. She had COVID and just not feeling, and I hated to leave her there because she didn't seem stable. But the kids are, I plugged her phone in, but you got to turn it on. It's an old flip phone. And I'm sure COVID makes you where you can't think. You know, it boils your brain. Unless you're asymptomatic. Thank God for those that are asymptomatic. But for those who are not, it boils your brain. And that's a difficult thing. I'm going to pray for Philip's dad. He's got COVID in the hospital, right? And Brother Bill's going to have a test tomorrow on his lungs. And we want to pray for him that there's no damage in his lungs. And he's doing much better. And I sat and talked with him and Miss Anna at the kitchen table. And he's doing really well, but he's just still taking precautions because nobody wants to be sick, right? And we need to take precautions. Folks are getting their vaccines. They're getting Sarah's had the second shot. She's alive. She's not a humanoid. She's alive and everything's normal. So praise the Lord for that. And so things are moving along with the whole thing, but it's going to take a while. There's not going to be vaccinations for the public until, probably August, September, November, and it just is what it is, and I know they try and blow sunshine up people's nose, but you can only make so much, you can only do so much, and then only half the population says they're going to take it anyway. And so, everybody's got to figure this stuff out for themselves. But, we still got to use a little caution, okay? A little common sense, it goes a long way. And I encourage people, use caution, use common sense, and it'll, Lord knows, because the last thing you want to be is careless, right? Don't be careless. Don't be cavalier with your life. Now, I know it's only, again, it's less than 1%, probably 3/4%. Remember the Spanish flu of 1918, 675,000 people died from it. We're at 475,000 or something like that. And so it's a small percentage of our population that it's really affecting. But with COVID, you don't know that anybody could be that small percent, and that's not comforting to the small percent, right? So, just continue to pray that the Lord will work and move, I'm ready to see it go away. I'm sure you all are also. Kids are going back to school. Lord willing, they're going back to school. They start back to school next week, and then they're going to see how it all pans out. But next week's for the grade school kids, it's Monday, it's 4 days. Wednesday they'll have off, and then if it goes good, they're going to move it up to eighth grade. And so it'd be good to see the kids back in school. And pray for the teachers Because it's always a, you know, I understand the teachers worrying about it. I do. People got to, you know, worry about their health. And so we're just praying. Numbers are continuing to go down in Hamilton County, which is very good. We want the numbers to go down. And so the I don't know what the actual number is. Do you know, Sarah, by any chance? 2,000. So it's down from 2,500. So that's good. It's dropping. And when it gets down into the you know, the 800, 900 range, that's really good because there's going to be less community spread. And, of course, a lot of people have had it already, and then all the people getting their vaccines, it's going to be a lot safer. And I think that that's a good thing. All right. And then I'm thinking if we got anything else to make mention of. I just remind everybody that the cameras are on. And so what you do in church is being seen and heard. So always keep that in mind, right? And so it's just I just remind everybody so that we, you know, what's to say with information really helps you to make good choices, right? And so, because you know, a lot of folks don't, you know, they don't even know we got them yet, but they will. And so, but we do have them; they are on and they are recording. And so, you know, think about what you're doing, and just you know, come church, worship God, and there's never going to be a problem, right? And that's the thing: worshiping God in spirit and truth is the most important thing we do. Pray for your neighbors, pray for your relatives, pray for the friends that are around us. Be a witness for Jesus Christ. And lift folks up in prayer. You know, I'm praying. I mean, every time I hear what's going on in the country, and I just, you know, and I just pray for the nation. Pray for those that are in authority. Pray for those that are making decisions. And all the craziness that's going on in this country at this time. And you know, a house divided cannot stand. Remember that. A house divided cannot stand. And we live in one divided nation. And, you know, sometimes we forget that we're what? Americans. We're Americans. It's all this hyphenated stuff that's messed everything up. You know? Well, I'm a Greek American. No, I'm an American. I was born in America. Right? I have a Greek heritage. You know? I'm related to Marie Antoinette. And a couple few other people. Famous people. But you know what? I'm an American. And Americans look out for one another. And this hate and killing and you know, all this crazy stuff that's happening, you know, there's no place in the Christian's life for that. None. And we need Christianity. But the problem is we're becoming a godless nation. I was out last night and a lady saw a T-shirt. And she says, oh, thank God, that looks so good. And she says, and I don't even believe in God. And I'm thinking, God help us. You know, you're going to need God one day, lady. You're going to need him bad. And, you know, and when God calls your name and your number. And instead of Jesus Christ meeting you, the death angel's meeting you. That's the chilly hand of death. And, you know, hey, folks are going to wish they had known Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And they're going to wish they hadn't said some of the things that they said. And, you know, salvation is of the Lord. We all need to remember that and you know, get the gospel to those who need it so desperately. I can't think of anything else I need to make mention of. Everything's business as usual. Everything's moving around normally. We did get the alternator back in the bus, and unfortunately, it's not working. I can't tell you how frustrated I was after putting the bus back together. And the alternator's not working. It's brand new alternator. Not working. And I thought, well, I'm going to take it down to East Ridge Auto Electric, get it looked at. But the I don't know if you ever worked on a car and you thought it was fixed and it wasn't, that is frustration to say the least. So let's pray we get the bus back together because as the numbers go down, that's going to be very good news. And hopefully we'll be able to get some things going here soon. You know, maybe by, you know, winter will be over in 6 weeks, right? And we'll be moving into spring. And maybe we'll be able to get the buses going again and get some things going as far as the kids programs and all that kind of stuff. All right. Well, let's, Brother Doug, let's have another song. We'll read the prayer letters at the end.
No standing for this one. 315, no standing, take my life and let it be. 1, 2, and 4. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move need, and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always for my King, always only for my King. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be the royal throne. It shall be Thy royal throne.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Doug. Thank you, Miss Susan. Let's take our Bible tonight. We're in the book of Colossians, and I love these. I love the epistles. Paul wrote to all the churches to instruct them and to teach them in the way of Christ. And, you know, the Bible is our constant guide and reminder of what Christian living is. And we live in such a day when people don't even know what Christian living is. You know, they think that living in sin is Christian living, and it's not. We began this study in chapter number 3 is Christ's preeminence in regulating your life. And because people's lives get out of control, and when their lives are out of control, nothing goes right. And that's why when we begin looking at this section, the principles of holy living, we looked at the believer's affection in verses 1-4. And, you know, and how we live is such an important thing. And what we do is such an important thing. And verses, and I'm going to pray in a minute, but what I want to do, I want to go ahead and read verses 1-5, and then we're going to pray, because this is a great reminder. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Now, when it comes to the Christian life, let me tell you, there is no place in the Christian's life for certain things. And the Bible makes that very clear. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for the word tonight, and I do pray that you'd bless it. And God, if we could get our mind on heavenly things, and Lord, and set our affection on things above. And God, not be worldly in our life and not be consumed with this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And God, worldliness is a terrible thing. And what it's done to the church and what it's done to Christians and what it's done to our country, God, it is sad. And I pray, Father, as we look at these things tonight, and the 21st century Christian has to be reminded, just like the first century Christian, there's no difference between them and us. They have the same struggles that we're having today. And God, I pray that you would just bless the word tonight and help me to bring it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight as we're starting verse number 5, and really we're going to look at 5, 6, and 7. He said again, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." God judges people for wickedness. I mean, he did burn up Sodom and Gomorrah because those people were so immoral and so evil. Sodomy, they earned the infamous term of sodomy for what they do, the Sodomites. And God help us, what happened in those five cities of the plain. If it hadn't been for, honest to God, if it hadn't been for Lot, the littlest one would have got burned up also. Right. And I'm just forgetting the name of it. But I'm trying to remember the name of that. What was it? Zoar would have been burned to the ground if it hadn't been for Lot being there. God spared Zoar. But I'm telling you, he didn't spare the other ones. And he brought destruction upon them. God judges wickedness and the ungodly. He always will. And God judges his children. Not in the same. Sinners go to hell. And God judges Christians in a different way. Plus, we have the judgment seat of Christ to stand before one day. But nobody gets away with sin. You say, "Brother Chris, do you get away with sin?" Oh, no. Matter of fact, hey, what we call little sins, and all sin is sin, God don't let me get away with it. You know why? Because I'm a preacher of the gospel, and God expects better of me. What He lets you get away with, He ain't letting me get away with, because I know better. To whom much is given, much is required. The more knowledge you have, the more God requires of you. I'll tell you that right now. But you know, I'm glad that He does. I don't want to get away with my sin. I want God to rebuke me, remind me, correct me, and say, what do you think you're doing? Because living in sin never made anybody happy. I'll tell you that right now. It never made anybody happy. He says in verse 7, in which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. Now, it was a time when we lived in sin and didn't think nothing of it. But when you become a child of God, living in sin is horribly wrong. And again, these verses make those things come quite clear. So tonight we're going to look at, we looked at the believer's affection in 1-4. And we're going to begin to look in verses 5-17 at the believer's spiritual apparel. And that is spiritually, how we adorn ourselves. Verse 5. You know, to adorn yourself in the right thing, you probably have to take off the old thing, right? If you had filthy rags on, you wouldn't put new clothes on over top of them, would you? No, you strip off the filthy rags. Now remember, all our rights are the filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And you know what it is? I tell people all the time, we got to get the sin out of our lives. Sin is the problem. The wages of sin is death. Sin will make a slave out of you to the devil. And that's why he begins when he says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. You know what it means to mortify? It means to kill. And, you know, we have to die to self. We have to be dead to some things. As a child of God, we ought to be dead to alcohol. We ought to be dead to drugs. We ought to be dead to pornography. We ought to be dead to hatred. We ought to be dead to lust and impurity and adultery and every sin I could possibly name. We ought to be dead to it. Living in sin is unbecoming of a child of God. And the Bible makes that very clear in Romans chapter 6. And I ain't being mean tonight. I'm just telling you the truth. And nobody's exempt when it comes to living in sin. Living in sin never made anybody happy. It'll never make. You want to see the most miserable person in the world? It's a Christian who lives in sin. Because they're grieving the Holy Spirit of God inside of them. And you know, again, sinners can get away with stuff that Christians can't get away with. Because sinners are going to hell. You're a child of God, you're going to heaven, you sure ain't getting away with certain things. Be sure your sin will find you out. I read that today in chapter 32, talking about the children of Israel and the half the tribe of Manasseh Reuben, the Reubenites, yeah. And he said, hey, don't you think that you're not gonna fight? And if you don't fight, your sin is going to find you out. And let me tell you, everyone's sin finds them out. Nobody gets away with sin. Nobody. Romans chapter 6, notice what it says in verse number 6. He says, know this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We are not here to live for the devil. We are here to live for Jesus Christ. And the moment we start serving sin, everything's going wrong in our life. You can't serve Jack Daniels and think you're going to be happy. You can't serve a prescription bottle and think you're going to be happy. You can't serve drugs, we got a drug-filled nation now and think you're going to be happy. You can't serve fornication and adultery and all kind of debauchery and think you're going to be happy in your life. God's plan was one man, one woman. That was God's plan. That is God's plan. Now, things happen. I get that. And before you get saved, thank God that's all washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. But you start over and you live righteously. You change what you're doing. You know, you don't continue in sin. That's the problem. People continue in their sin and they think their life's going to be... No. You cannot continue in sin. You cannot live in sin and think you're going to be blessed. You're not going to be. Nobody living in sin is blessed. I mean, God help us. Ask Samson. What did debauchery and fornicating and shacking up with everything come by ever get him? Well, got his eyes put out. he had to grind like an animal in the grinding house. And it was all said and done. He was dead. Because that's what sin does to everybody. Everybody. Can I say it? Everybody. You say, well, I'm exempt. No, you're not. It does the same thing to everybody. Sin kills. And the Christian, we ought to avoid sin like we're avoiding the black plague. You know? And God help us, that is what we're supposed to be doing. Notice in Galatians, again, 5 and Galatians 5 and 24. You say, why do you... Because every generation is struggling with this. Can I tell you, every believer struggles with this. And, you know, and I wish you got to a point, one brother said, he talked to an old preacher and he said, well, brother, you made it. You're 80 years old. He said, brother, I ain't made it anywhere. He said, I struggle with sin every day just like you do. He said, but you'll never have a female problem again. He said, oh, no. I like 80, 85 and 90 year old women, but I still like the 15 year olds. Now, a young man's not going to look at an 85 year old woman, right? But an old man will. You know how many old people are shacking up in sin? Because they want to save a few bucks on their Social Security? I mean, the one brother said, hey, he said, and then all the crazy stuff that's going on, and, you know, and he said, I have to discipline more old people than I do young. Because the old people are messing up worse than the young people are. Can you imagine you're a deacon in the church and you know, your wife's been dead a few years and all of a sudden you're shacking up with Sister So-and-so in the church? Well, you ain't a deacon no more. Matter of fact, you're under church discipline. And I'm thinking, you know, but see, I don't care how old you are. You can be 85 years old and be struggling with sin. I was preaching a meeting one time. This man, they're in their 70s. He comes to church, him and his wife. And he says, Pastor, can I talk to you for a minute? He said, I need to confess something. I beat my wife every night. My jaw could have fell down to the ground like the cartoons. You know what I'm thinking? You do what? First of all, I wish you hadn't told me that. Because I just can't picture the thing. And I'm thinking, and I'm just shaking my head, and I'm thinking, I'm looking at his poor wife over there. And I said, how are you enduring that in your mid to late 70s? Let me tell you something. Me and my wife have married going on 41 years. She'll tell you. I ever hit you? Not one time. Not one time. You know? I might have wanted to strangle her a few times. I never laid hands on her. Now, she smacked me a few times. She thrown water on me a few times. And that was less than I deserved. I could tell you something there, but I won't. All right. You know, men can be something else. But the point I'm trying to make here, there's some things that should never happen. And you got to mortify. You got to kill this stuff in your life. You got to remove it from your life. Because you say, I can't do that. You know, there's certain things as Christians we can't do. And I say it all the time. We, as a Christian, we got to live a holy, godly life and do what's right in our lives. And that's such the important thing. And doing the right thing, hey, is the right thing. Brother Philip, you pray all you want to. That's a good thing. All right. And living the Christian life is just so important. Did I read that verse in Galatians? I probably didn't. Look in Galatians 5 and verse number 24. And it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, hey, we got to be dead to sin. And we got to live in this. If we say we're living in the Spirit, then we got to walk in the Spirit. It's not what you say, it's what you do. And that's the whole problem. What did Jesus say about the Pharisees? Do all that they bid you do, for they say and do not. Hypocrisy. And that is the problem with the day in which we live. And Christian, you know, the world points it out. The world says there's something wrong with what is happening here. There's something wrong with someone who's hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And then they're down there at the brothel. There's something wrong with that. You know, and the world can call it for what it is. Hey, you got to kill those things in your life that shouldn't be there. You got to mortify those things. And again, notice where he starts in our text here. He says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And where does he start? Fornication. Fornication, shacking up, living in sin, being evil. You know, all that filth that we see on TV and the Internet and all the pornography. That's why our nation's so messed up. I mean, you can't satisfy people anymore to the point that they got to have little children. And they got to steal them and lock them up in their house and chain them in the basement. And happening all over America. And some of them are churchgoers. They'll get up and come to church and they got a little girl or a little boy locked in their basement. Tell me that's Christianity. Uncleanness, inordinate affection. Weird, crazy desires. Evil concupiscence, lust, terrible lust, and covetous, which is idolatry. You look at these things and you just got to say, this is wrong. Immorality leads to idolatry. You say, Brother Chris, can you prove that? You know I can. It's all throughout the Bible from start to finish. Case in point, Exodus 32, the children of Israel, Moses up on the mountain praying. God's come down to them. And this is the funny thing. They said, Moses, we don't need God to talk to us anymore. We fear God. We're going to do whatever He says. They receive the law. Moses up there, God's writing with His finger on the stones. What are they doing down in the valley? Exodus 32, look over there. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods. Idolatry. Which shall go before us, for this man Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. So they make the golden calf. Verse 6, they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings, and people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Skip on over there. Verse number, let's see here. Aaron comes down from the mount. And verse number 18, and he said, verse 17, and Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted. He said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, it is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as they came nigh unto the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Now, skip on down a few more verses here. And notice what it says in verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were what? Naked. Immorality and idolatry. They're having a wild sex party as they worship the golden calves. Can I tell you all false religion is centered around sex? What do the Mormons say? You're going to go to heaven and you're going to keep your wife. She's going to be forever pregnant and you're going to be a god and have all these children. It's all about sex. That's what Mormons teach. What about the Muslims? Oh, you're going to have 33 virgins or whatever it is. And you're going to have sex with them all the time. It's all about sex. How else would they get young men and young women to blow themselves up and do what they do? If you know anything about Hinduism, you know that the temple was a place where young girls were and boys were brutalized. and they were used for sex toys. I went to a prayer meeting. They called it prayers. Neighbors had it, and I went. Lisa and the kids went. They had their food, what have you. There's a little 3-year-old girl, 4-year-old girl there, and they got her dressed up. She looks pretty. And the priest, the old priest, the old pervert, says, "This little girl's of God." And I'm thinking, you're a pedophile. You're a pervert, is what you are. And of course, we all know about the Catholic Church, right? We all know about that. That's well documented. What does false religion do? It's perverted. And when you're worshiping devils or worshiping something other than Jesus Christ, because if you worship in the name of Jesus Christ, you're worshiping devils. What goes with it? Immorality. And idolatry and immorality go together. Look in Numbers 25. Again, I said I can prove it. It's right there in the Old Testament. You don't got to. Matter of fact, I read it today. Numbers chapter 25. Look on over there. Nation of Israel. You know, Balaam wouldn't curse Israel, but he told Balak how to get them cursed. He says, "You want to get these people in trouble? God ain't cursing these people, but you want God to judge them? I'll tell you how to judge them. Get them mixing with your women." Chapter 25, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, and the people to eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. You say, what happened? God killed a bunch of them. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel." He said, "Moses, you tell them to go down there and cut all their heads off. Because they're worshiping devils. They're worshiping Baal. And they're committing fornication and whoredom with the daughters of Moab." You see how those things go together? All the sex cults that were out there. You know, and they're getting them. They catch them sooner or later. They always catch them. And they always catch them doing the crazy things they're doing. And the celebrities get caught up in it because of what it is. The one was nothing but a prostitution ring for the leaders. And they had celebrity women recruiting young girls. Kind of like, what was that guy's name? They say he committed suicide in the jail. Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein. And Jeffrey Epstein's island. And of course, we know that a lot of our senators and House of Representatives and powerful people frequented Jeffrey Epstein's island. And then they tell us about their high standards. Don't make me laugh. You know why Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. Because dead men tell no tales. And they didn't want him talking. Hollywood celebrities. Prince Philip in England. I think it's Philip. What is it? Is it Philip? I think it is. Was it Andrew? One of them. You say, what's the thing? Hey, foreign dignitaries, ex-U.S. presidents. It's wickedness, wickedness, wickedness is all it is. Now, Ephesians 5 and verse 3. Let's bring it up to the New Testament. Let's bring it up to the child of God. And I know this is an uncomfortable subject because so many Christian people are involved in it. And, you know, and when you start talking about sin, people want to crawl under the pew. You know, it's time to change the channel. It's time to look at something else because this is what's wrong with our nation. It's what's wrong with our churches. I mean, the one little girl came to church and she got raped and taken advantage of. She was 15 years old. She went to talk to the youth pastor and he did the same thing to her. You know what she says? I'll never be a part of an independent Baptist church again. Can you blame her? Can you blame her? That shouldn't be happening in the church. You shouldn't be covering that thing up. One deacon in South Carolina, he did the same thing, got the girl pregnant, and they blamed it on the 15-year-old girl. I think you ought to be blaming it on the 35-year-old man. Who made that happen? He did. His car, his credit card, he paid for the hotel. She had no way to do that. He absolutely took advantage of her. She lives out there in Colorado. I watched the interview, and she says, again, the independent Baptist movement is corrupt. I don't tell people we're independent fundamental Baptist church. I say, hey, we're a Bible-believing Baptist church, and we're independent. I don't want the IFB label. Because the IFB is corrupt. I tell people long ago, if we got to drop the name, we'll drop the name. I'm not going to be associated with child molestation. Big church up here in Michigan, Gaylord, Michigan. Same thing. Same thing. Deacons, trustees, same thing. And everything is gone. And they're starting over with a new name and a horrible reputation. And it's all over the internet. All you got to do is look up the name of the church, and there it is. They got the evidence. And these same people are saying, these Baptists are corrupt as they can be. You know what the hard thing is? The ex-pastor now works for the CLA. He's their pastor. And this stuff was going on. He knew it was going on. And he's now their pastor. In a huge organization. You see what's wrong with this stuff in Christianity? I'm not calling no names. I'm just telling you. It's a fact. And the lost world has followed it. Matter of fact, they got on there and they asked Dr. Gibbs, have you no shame to have this man to be your pastor when he allowed this in his church for so many years? Now, I will say this, the brother is a great preacher. But I don't know what a great administrator he is or pastor he was. You can't turn your head when there's sin in the church. You got to call it for what it is. I've told people, you ain't joining the church. You're not married. You're shacking up. You ain't joining. You get married. Get your life straightened out. You can join the church. You know? I'll marry my office. Hey, I've told people, you're under church discipline. You're no longer anything in this church. You hold no title. You hold no office. You hold no position. And all you're welcome to do is sit on the pew and shut your mouth. We had a guy. I had to do that to him. Lost sinners would come in and they say, are you kidding me that man is in your church and he opens the back door? You know how evil he is? This is the lost world. He said, I cannot believe that you allow that guy to do anything. What kind of pastor are you? Well, I hadn't been here but 6 months. I was figuring things out. But I didn't like being told, what kind of pastor am I? From those that are without. The one brother said, the one young man, he said, why do you ride around with him? He cusses more than I do. Not around me. But when he's without. See, that kind of stuff is wrong, and it's a real problem. It's a stain on the church. That was a problem we had in Trinidad. We had a church with all the guys in it. It was small. And the girls weren't allowed to come because the leadership had a horrible reputation with women. And they said, well, everyone in that church is committing fornication and adultery and rape and little. I said, no, they're not. Not when I was there. When it was all said and done, we had a church full of pretty young girls. And people said, Brother Chris, if you're there, my kids are allowed to come. But if you're not there, they're not allowed to come. You say, why? Because the church had a horrible reputation. That is unbecoming of Christianity. Did I read the verse? I can't remember if I read the verse. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Not once let it be named among you. No Christians ought to be involved in that. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There's some things we should be doing. There's some things we shouldn't be doing. Look over there in 1 Corinthians 6. The Corinthians, oh my gosh, they were so immoral. Their whole society was immoral. These people got saved, and Paul had to write to them to stop their immorality. 1 Corinthians 6, and look in verse number 15. 6:15, he says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. Know ye not that he that is joined to a harlot is one body, and two, saith he, shall be one flesh? But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. What do? You run from fornication. What did Joseph do? He ran from it. Potiphar's wife. Man, she had the plan. She was going to seduce him. He said, oh, no, you're not. I'm getting out of here. You know what you got to do? You got to don't say, well, I'm going to pray. No, you're going to run. You got to run away from temptation. It runs after you. You better be running away from it. Hey, I get tempted every now and then with things. You know, one time I was in a place and I was going to a meeting. Walked in the door and I saw them cigars and I wanted them. I said, I got to get out of here. I didn't just want them. I really wanted them. I said, I got to get out of here. I really went in there to look for a phone charger, but you know how the devil is. You need that, and no one will know. I'll know, and the Lord will know, and that's enough. Right there. Devil said, I won't tell on you. Uh-huh. The devil will be the first one to tell on you. Right? You got to get away from certain things. Because we love to indulge ourselves. You know? The one preacher was on the plane and he sat down. There was a girly book, a nudity book right there next to him. And the guy left it there on purpose because he wanted to see what the preacher was going to do. And the preacher just kind of took something else and covered it. Because temptation is temptation, right? Did he want to look at it? Yeah. Not the inner man. The old man wanted to look at it. The new man didn't want to look at it. The guy comes back and he says, I know you. You're Pastor so-and-so. He said, yeah. He said, I left that book there on purpose to see if you were real. Hey, be a real Christian. Stop your sinning. You know? Quit living in sin. Quit lying. Quit being deceitful. Quit being the horrible person that you used to be. Notice what he says again here. It says, flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth without the body, but he that commits fornication sinneth against his what? His own body. That's why there's so many diseases out there. They're sinning against their own body. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit, in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. Hey, we are all prone to temptation. You have to remove it out of your life. You got to be dead to it, because it will overtake you. And then what's left is God's judgment. And that's where he says, uncleanness, inordinate affection, covetousness, which is idolatry. What does idolatry lead to? Immorality. For which thing's sake, the wrath of God cometh on children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. When we were sinners, that's what we did. Saints are not supposed to be living that way. We got to be better than that. And it's why the church has lost its influence in the community. You know, there was a time when the pastor came around, everyone decided their views were pretty much guided by what the pastor thought. Preacher, what do you think about that? Matter of fact, you could go to the council meeting, you could go to the town meeting, you could go to any place, and they reverenced the pastor and said, "Pastor, can you tell us what we should do?" When's the last time that happened? I'll tell you, that ain't happened around here since the 1970s. Because of all the sin in the churches and the clergy's life and the preacher's life. You know? And today, preachers celebrate their wickedness. They bring a beer out on the platform and drink it. Just to show that it's okay. So the rest of their community, remember, wherever you are, if you're at the top, where are them people at the bottom going to be? Well, they're going to the hotel when they leave the church service. Because you got no moral authority. That's what's going on, folks. And it is so terrible to even say what goes on today. And it should never be happening. Look at verse number 8. Again, we're supposed to be putting these things off. We got to get this stuff out of our life. Verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. Now what are we going to put off? Anger. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. We live in an angry generation. I mean, fight and it's terrible. Everybody's so angry. I mean, you don't go fast enough, they want to kill you. You go by them and they want to kill you. You look at them and they want to kill you. I mean, fighting at Walmart, fighting at the grocery store. You can't go anywhere where they're not fighting anymore. I understand why the kids are angry. I mean, they don't know who mom and dad is. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. They're being beaten up and abused and brutalized in the home. I understand why they're angry. And there's no Christianity. You know what the church is? A refuge. Why would kids come to church and sit and listen to me preach or sit and listen to anyone else preach? Because church is a safe place where they're loved, they're cared for, they're fed, and sometimes they're clothed. I saw Brother Ron one day and he said, "Brother Chris, I do not understand why these kids come." Well, home is the most dangerous place in the world for them. And if they get to come to church, they have a couple hours of safety and love. So yeah, they'll come and be glad to be here. It's why they like to go to school. Because it's safety and love while they're at school. No one's shooting bullets through their house. No one's beating them up. threatening to kill them, doing bodily harm. No one's going to prostitute them when they're 7 years old. That's why the kids come. I mean, it's hell on earth where they live. And that's why they're upset when we had to stop doing everything. You understand why they're upset? You understand why, hey, suicide is raging across this nation with teenagers. Because they're at home enduring their abuse. And they can't take it and they end their lives. That's a fact. Look it up. You know, would you really want to be at home with angry mom and dad who are beating the devil out of you? 24/7? I don't think so. Christian people shouldn't be that way. Your home should be a place of love and comfort. A refuge, a place of safety. But put off all these: anger, wrath, malice. You know malice? You're just trying to hurt people. You're just trying to hurt somebody. Do Christian people do that? Sure they do. And it shouldn't be. You know, it's my job to make their life miserable. You are no kind of Christian. You are no kind of Christian. It's not our job to make people's lives miserable. It's our job to bring people to Jesus Christ that their life might be filled with joy and happiness. It's like the school kids, and they bully people and bully them and bully them until they kill themselves. You know what I say? Leave everyone else alone and take care of your own business. That's a good place to start. You know, and you see this stuff, and notice what blasphemy, using God's name in vain, over and over and over and over and over and over. And I said, what? I don't know about you, that makes me cringe as a child of God. But there's Christian people, you do that all the time. Filthy communication, cuss. Cussing is a habit, and you have to break it. Now, I'll tell you, it took me a year to break that nasty habit. And I overcame it. Don't tell me you can't overcome it. You can overcome it. But when I got mad is when I would cuss. I said, I got to quit being so angry. But you know what? When God, you say, do you cuss? I don't cuss now. I cuss. You know where I cuss? Right here. Man, in my mind, is it could cuss 24/7. And I said, Lord, that's evil. That's wrong. When I do good, evil is present with me. I said, Lord, please don't let me have Alzheimer's. Sarah will tell you, she's met them. Some of the sweetest Christian ladies. Oh my gosh. They cuss like you wouldn't believe. You say, why? Because they had a past life. And once the new man can't restrain it, the old man has a field day. I said, let me die of a heart attack or a stroke or something. Don't let me have Alzheimer's. Because I don't want to say what I'm thinking. I don't want the devil to have his way with me. Brother Vic's grandfather, when he died, he stripped off all his clothes. He's walking around the house, and that man never showed his body. And he'd come through the house naked, and he dies. Now, I've met some Christian people that grew up in church. And they died. Miss Martha, she was dying, and she was doing this. She had cancer. She was doing this. And they said, Martha, Sister Martha? She said, yeah. He said, what are you doing? I'm making the Lord's Supper. I promise you that won't be me. I wasn't raised in church. I've seen a lot of things, experienced a lot of things. I wish I could erase, but I can't erase them. I told you, I remember every sinful thing I ever did. I got a memory for that. Even as a Christian, I remember all the evil I've done. And I said, Lord, I said, please, don't let me lose my mind. Now, hallelujah, I'm like you. I'm looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker. We want the trumpet to sound. We're going out of here. But there's a possibility that we could see old age. Nobody thought we'd still be here today. But we are. Right? And no man knows the day or the hour. People think they got it figured out. I said, whatever day you say it's going to happen, I know it's not going to be then. Because it's not even going to be close to then, because that's not how it works. We're going to stop there tonight. And we'll come back to verse number 9. Next week. Look at verse number 9. What's it say? Lie not to one another. We live in a day of not just liars, but stinking liars. They can't tell the truth if their life depended on it. And that's why God said all liars are going to have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Because all these self-righteous people think they're good enough to go to heaven. Hey, let me tell you, there's not a just man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not, and all men are liars. Can I tell you this? Not everybody is a habitual liar. You know what a habitual liar is? Someone who lies all the time. About everything. Can I tell you? That's a habit also. That was a nasty habit I had to break. That's a nasty habit. God help us. Let's pray. And then we'll turn the feed off. We'll have our time of prayer in the prayer letter. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Pray that you would bless it. Help us to grow in the Lord and be what you want us to be as Christian people. And Lord, take heed to what the Scripture says. And God, there's none of us here that's above sin. But God, we don't have to live in sin. We don't have to live that double life, that horrible life. God, that is a reproach unto the living God. Lord, bless the word and help us to make application in our daily life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Brother Devin, you'll turn the feed off there. We do want